Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? How do we relate to it? As we look at events taking place on a global basis, national basis, and citywide basis, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say to us that should effectuate the decisions that we make each and every day in our lives? And in particular, ladies and gentlemen, as we approach the city elections, how should the events viewed through the Word of God, the lens of the Scripture, how should we then decide how we're going to vote and what we're going to do? But ladies and gentlemen, first of all, let me remind you, according to the Scripture, we need to pray for those who are in leadership. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, that's the word first, is the little word protos, priority, number one. First thing, first of all, supplication, that is serious intercession, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks for be made for all men. And then it says in verse 2, for kings, that is the ingredients it's given in verse 1, is to be carried out for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture says we need to pray for those that are in leadership, and I do. And I want to tell you that, and some disagree with this, that's fine. In many of the cases, I say, Lord, remove them. Lord, you know what they're doing. You know, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the fraud that's taking place, as with Joe Biden and the cabal in Washington. Remove them. Allow we, the citizens, to vote for and place someone in that will protect our constitutional republic, our Bill of Rights, and in that Bill of Rights, our religious liberties and the freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm passionate about what we do and who we put in office because, ladies and gentlemen, it makes a vast difference on how our Bill of Rights are handled. Joe Biden has said in his sleepiness and his inability cognitively to make decisions, Joe Biden has said many, many, many times since running for office and now in the Oval Office, I think fraudulently in the Oval Office, but he said several times that the Bill of Rights are not guaranteed. The Bill of Rights are not absolute, that they can be modified, changed, removed, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way I have ever viewed our Constitution. It's not the way any conservative constitutional attorney will view it. But we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what's at risk. The decisions we make at the in the voting booth will make the determination and the decision in the future as to how we will have viewed our Bill of Rights and our constitutional liberties with those that go into office. So we need to be very, very careful. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about that today. One of the key things we'll discuss today, will Joe Biden survive? I'm not talking about in life. Will Joe Biden survive as President of the United States of America? Ladies and gentlemen, all of you that's listened to this broadcast consistently, you know that I've said for the past year and a half, almost 2 years, that President Joe Biden will leave office by or before or shortly after the 2022 election. And I think we're reaching the crescendo, the apex, the point of decision being made in relationship to whether he continues to move forward as president. I think literally behind the scenes, the Democratic Party is ready to jettison Joe Biden and replace him. We'll talk about that during this broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you, after we've done a brief monologue, we'll invite your calls. The calling number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone calls go right to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so not based on denominational dogma. We base the decisions not on some political rhetoric or a party affiliation, but what we say and how we handle the discussion is based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book, John 8:31-32. The Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus makes a de facto declaratory statement. He says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. It doesn't contain truth. It is truth. It's not partial truth. It is truth. And Jesus' word, the word of God, is truth. And in Psalms 117, verse 2, it says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Jesus himself says, I am truth, in John 14:6. But ladies and gentlemen, we live in an era when truth is mocked, truth is laughed at, truth is denigrated. There seems to be no value in truth anymore. And it goes back to what George Orwell said in his dystopian novel called 1984, published, written back in 47, 48, 49 in that area. And ladies and gentlemen, George Orwell, as a secretary, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we watch that taking place in society today on exponential, ever-increasing basis. And I believe it's partially predicated on the fact that, according to the latest research and the latest surveys found, some 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% of the millennials in America do not believe in absolute truth. 55% of the millennials say, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. And the writer of this article says, the loss of truth has grave consequences for our community, for justice, and for a sense of purpose and mental health. This writer says, I'm not aware of any civilization that has abandoned the reality of truth to this extent and yet survived. It is a fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in a very serious position in America. We see that from the White House down. We see that when you have an individual that ran for the U.S. House of Representatives with a fake name, with fake credentials, with a fake background, and yet won the election. Seemingly it was only after he was elected and has already been sworn in that there's an interesting concern about his background and who he is. I believe that points to the fact that as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots in America, we need to vet the candidates, and we need to do the best we can with God's wisdom that he provides for us to vote for the one that's going to protect our Constitution, protect our borders, protect our city, protect the liberties that we have in our Bill of Rights, and continue to guide us as would be honorable before the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint said, and I quote, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our Christian churches. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, there's a need for us to cling to truth and hold to it, because the Bible is very, very clear. Ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalted, that's lift up, builds up, glorifies the nation, but sin is a reproach that is a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. And ladies and gentlemen, in the society in which we're living in today, we need to be very, very careful as to who we place in office. We're going to talk about that a little later during the course of this broadcast. We're going to interview an individual that I believe will be our next mayor, and I'm looking forward to our conversation, dialogue, and discussion with him. But, ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the centrality of truth. That was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I pray that that's what you do. I reiterate that each and every day as the mini monologue going into the broadcast each day. And I pray that it will effectuate mindset and desire on your part. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, it's at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. Find the flag and the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's word ordained it to be so. Stop by Tools for Time, make an application of employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, will Joe Biden survive? We're not talking about in life and living. We're talking about survive in office as President of the United States of America. Let me just give a little preliminary, and we'll talk about this by way of a broader monologue, and then we'll introduce our guest today as we discuss the leadership in Jacksonville, the mayoral candidates, and what we're going to do in the city of Jacksonville. But ladies and gentlemen, all of us can recall the battle that was waged against President Trump by the Marxist media and the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. President Trump was lied about. He was criticized. He was condemned. And anything that he attempted to do was for our constitutional republic, for the preservation of it. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump was, he used the term spied upon. I use that term today. It's been validated that he was spied on. He was his phones were listened to. His emails and his telephone calls were monitored. Ladies and gentlemen, he was spied on by the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, and all of the social media and the big tech platforms, ladies and gentlemen. Even the Pelosi cabal attempted to impeach President Trump twice. Both of them failed, of course. Then the capstone was when the DOJ authorized the FBI to go in and raid Mar-a-Lago, President Donald Trump's home, and to make sure that if he had any classified documents there, they could take them. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, the FBI and the media, the Trump had said that Trump had kept some documents that was illegal, that ought not to be in his possession, and as a result of that, they applauded what happened with the Mar-a-Lago raid. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump, as President of the United States, had the power to declassify any documents he had at any time. Trump was already in the negotiating stages with the Department of Justice and the FBI were seeking to have. He was already in full negotiations and give and take between him and the DOJ and the FBI as to what he needed to turn over. All of Trump's documents were safe. They were literally, they were safe in that they were in his home in Mar-a-Lago. They were in a safe that was built for the documents with a combination lock on them with the camera focused on it that was being monitored by the FBI at will. They could watch who goes in and goes out of that door. They were secure, ladies and gentlemen. I want us to point that out because of where we're going with the conversation. All of Trump's documents were safe in a safe in Mar-a-Lago in his home. Yet the DOJ authorized the FBI to raid Trump's home in South Florida, ladies and gentlemen, using dozens of air, water, ground forces from the FBI. Yes, they had FBI on the water. They had FBI in the air, surveilling it from the air. They have had FBI surrounding the property. They had FBI guarding the doors. They had FBI that refused to allow even Trump's attorneys going into the building after they had arrived. So, ladies and gentlemen, there was a major, major scene. And they searched every home, every room in the home. They searched Barron, his son's room. They searched Melania's room, his wife, even going into her underwear drawers in the bedroom. They were searching, claiming they had the right to do so because he might have hidden documents in that. They searched every area of the home. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do a fast forward to today. It's been disclosed that Joe Biden stole, and I use that term, stole classified documents when he left the White House. He was vice president under Obama. He didn't have the authority to take them. He didn't have the authority to declassify them. He didn't have the authority to have them. But he had no authority, ladies and gentlemen, and yet he has declassified, he had classified documents that have been found in several places in his home in Delaware and also in the Penn Biden building that is bought and paid for by socialist, Marxist, communist, Chinese money, some $35 to $37 million donated, and yet they have access to the building, and yet some of the documents were found there. So we're going to make this transition and then introduce our mayoral candidate today. The question is, did DOJ, FBI raid Biden's home? Not yet. Did the Marxist media criticize Biden for what he had in his home? No. In fact, they've run interference for him on every network and every channel. Ladies and gentlemen, are the media demanding impeachment of Biden? Not yet. But did Merrick Garland, the DOJ, simply appoint a general counsel, chief counsel, investigative counsel, whatever you want to call it, independent counsel? Did he do that so that he'd get to the bottom of what Biden did? Absolutely, unequivocally, emphatically, no. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize by appointing a general counsel to investigate Joe Biden, that guarantees 2 years before there will ever have to be an accounting to the general public? That means 2 years that you're not allowed to ask a question. DOJ will say, we don't know. The general counsel, special counsel has it. We can't answer it. So it has, for all practical intents and purposes, it has protected Joe Biden for the balance of his term. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some serious questions to be asked about that. There's some serious questions to be looked at. There's some serious analysis that must be taken. In fact, one of the articles that I have on my desk says this, Kamala Harris to become president, question mark. Shock prediction confirmed. Biden aides didn't expect it. But CNN recently, listen to this, CNN recently made a shocking admission. Quote, Kamala Harris was foisted on us because she is ready to step in when Biden steps aside, end quote. This article states the startling revelation caught many Democrat voters by surprise, but with more experts now calling President Joe Biden's mental capacity into question, and with the approval rating plummeting after countless controversies, Dems now realize that they need to ditch blundering Joe so that they can focus their thoughts and their interest in their activities on the agenda for 2024 election. That's why the Washington, D.C. insiders are beginning to wonder, Kamala Harris is an 80-year-old's heartbeat away from the presidency. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the major investigative reports by Tucker Carlson recently stated, Joe Biden is on the way to being pushed out of office. So with that being said, may I say to you, we need to be very careful on how we vote and who we vote for. Ladies and gentlemen, we have several candidates running for the different city offices. The primary one that's running today, that will be the election is primaries on March the 21st, 2023. It's about 60 days away, just about a little over 60 days away, because before we'll have an opportunity to make a determination who will lead us as the city leadership, as the mayor in particular. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're privileged to have the candidate whom I believe will be our next mayor, Al Ferraro, as special guest on Let's Face the Issues. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues today, Al. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I understand you've already been in a long, serious meeting this morning. I pray that it went well, but thank you for taking time out of that busy treadmill schedule to join us on Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And let me just say that you are a reminder to people of what they should be doing. And in the political arena, your show and the people who listen to it are a reminder of what people who run for office should be reminded of who they're representing and what they're supposed to be doing. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. You have well stated that. I believe that as Christians, we need to vet the candidates. I believe as conservatives and patriots, we need to vet the candidates. I believe we need to walk into the voting booth with a repertoire of research knowledge that is in our minds, and we make the determination of the individual to whom we believe would we have the right and responsibility of passing the baton for the leadership. In fact, with that being said, Al, let me just take a moment. I'm looking at a major article that I pulled off Wikipedia, and it may or may not have a political bias. I don't recognize one, but it talks about some of the candidates. For example, it says among the Republicans, Daniel Davis, listen to what Wikipedia says, Daniel Davis represents himself as being similar to the incumbent, Marilyn Curry. And it goes on with different aspects of that. Now, my position is, Alan, you correct me if you think that it's a wrong direction, but we don't need a replacement of Lenny Curry to mirror and to mimic and to carry out the same things and the same approaches that Lenny Curry has done. We don't need a candidate like that. We need a transition in the city of Jacksonville, in my most humble opinion, that will bring to the office of mayor that which is integrity, that which has moral integrity, and that which will be honorable and representing all the people. How do you respond to that statement? Am I on target with my position on that or thoughts?
I think Daniel Davis would be the same thing probably on steroids. Mm-hmm. And let me give you an example. So the candidate, he has not just supported the sale of JEA, he had spearheaded it by accepting money and pushing that into a direction. And I had a meeting last night where I met with the Republican Party of Ortega. And I told them, I said, not only is he a spearhead going into trying to sell JEA, I also explained to the audience last night that JEA is going to try to be sold again. And the way that it's going to go this time is they're going to try to get with developers and try to take away the franchise agreement of JEA. And by doing that, they will be able to do it at 1% or less each time, instead of trying to do a whole piece. And I do think that's the direction it's going. And if you look who's involved, he's in the thick of it.
I'm saddened to hear that. It doesn't surprise me. I'm saddened to hear that. Because, again, I say this very openly and honestly, I've said so for several years now, we've got a weak rhino for a mayor. We do not have a strong suit in the mayor's office to take a stand for morals, ethics, values, and for the right of the city of Jacksonville. We've had multiple things take place just in the downtown area that I'm totally against that way he has handled that. But this article further states, Leanne Cumber, for example, heavily criticized Curry's efforts to raise the Jacksonville gas tax. Florida Politics commented that she had support of various anti-Lenny Curry Republicans in local office. Cumber and Davis both sought to establish themselves as leading conservative candidates, and I'll stop there. I don't consider either of them as conservative candidates. Again, they both go back into the category, in my most humble opinion, is what we see taking place now. So if our city wants to see a change, we want to make a change, I believe it's time that we put someone in office that has the credentials to do so, the background, the know-how, the ability to do so, and is not willing to bow to the lobbyists, not willing to bow to the the power brokers in our city. So with that being said, take a moment, give your take on that. Why do you think, and share with our audience, don't know how many listen each day, we cover from Brunswick, Georgia, down to Daytona, from the beaches over to Lake City, so it covers the total area that you need to be speaking to. Speak to our audience for a minute, Al. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Al Ferrero, the leading candidate, in my opinion, for the mayor's office in the city of Jacksonville. Al, take a few minutes and just speak directly to our listeners why they should vote for you, what you're doing, what you wanted to do, why you wanted to do it. Then after the news break at the top of the hour, we'll break it out and look at it piece by piece.
Thank you. So what makes us distinctively different than the candidates that are running? you see millions of dollars being spent on somebody saying that they're conservative. I have a track record showing that I'm more conservative, or I'm the most conservative person in the race. And let me give you some examples, of some brief ones. So both of them were okay with different types of shutdowns in the government when we had COVID. I'm not okay with any of the shutdowns.
Amen.
The sale of the JEA. Sale of the JEA. Like I said, Daniel Davis wasn't just part of agreeing to it. He spearheaded taking money to see about privatizing JEA.
Let me jump in there just for a moment, Al. I understand that he accepted about $300,000. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, yeah. $325,000 that I know of, along with multiple meetings, along with other people, of trying to get this privatized.
In other words, he accepted pay on the side while still representing the Chamber of Commerce, while trying on the side, behind closed doors, secretly accepting money to help promote and promulgate the sale of JEA. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And Leanne Cumber received money from Aaron Zahn, and her husband was on the board of JEA. I have no involvement with this. I'm somebody who's looking at it just like you are and saying, hey, this is the wrong thing for our city and our citizens. Let's go to the bathroom bill, the HRO, okay? Again, Daniel Davis didn't just agree with it with the chamber. They spearheaded pushing this in to our city, along with the chamber pushing to have men in women's restrooms, men competing against women. This is not something that makes our city safer or better. I voted against it over 11 times through committees and through council. Over and over, I've stayed extremely strong. Leanne Cumber supported it. So this is just two examples. Let's take the statues. Daniel Davis supports taking down our historical monuments and statues and moving to a different spot. Leanne Cumber voted to support that as well. I'm the only one who put the bill out there to allow our citizens to vote to make sure we kept them up. And our city council voted against it, and Leanne Cumber did as well. Again, this is something that makes us extremely different. On the taxes, where Daniel Davis spearheaded, along with the chamber, raising our taxes on our fuel, our property, our schools. We don't have a money problem issue in this city. We have a spending issue.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just a couple of a few examples of what makes us completely different. Just because we have an R, and here's the thing, most people are so busy raising their kids, working two and three jobs, they don't keep up with all this. So they see somebody and they hear on a radio or they see on a TV that this is the most conservative person. I was furious when I was at the Women's Republican Club the other day. They had three of us candidates in the room, and they would not allow us to take questions from the audience to find out what makes us different. We need to be able to do that. We need to have somebody put this together where they all agree on it. I'll show up any place, any time, to debate what I believe and what I don't believe in. And we need to get the other candidates, because I'm telling you, there are vast differences in the three of us.
Absolutely. And when you look at some of the candidates, Al, I know you and I know you well, but when you look at some of the candidates like Cumber, for example, Cumber is endorsed by several names that many people know, but they're all weak Republican names. I am surprised that you would have the lineup that she has, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that supposedly have endorsed her. But I made a little marginal note by this printout. They're all weak previous leaders in the city and the state that are underwriting, if you please, or recommending endorsing her. And so,
can I address that?
Yes, go ahead.
So when I ran the first time for city council, I had the least amount of endorsements. I don't know if I had any, actually. And
that's right.
I had the least amount of money. And I won by 68% because the people saw over time, just like they're going to see as time moves on, that I'm the most conservative. And the principal minds of the things I support, along with my moral compass
Absolutely. Al, hang in there for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news.
And Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.